Blog Talk Radio.
John 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Like to welcome to the program tonight. We thank you for joining us. Thank you for being part of the conversation. We thank God for those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and all the brothers who called in at 646-668-2636. If you called in and you want to join the conversation, have a comment, question, or share your insight and wisdom on our topic tonight, just press 1 on your keypad, and we'll see you on the switchboard, and we can bring you into the conversation. Amen? Amen. Again, brothers, just thank you for joining me tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about our response to death as believers, how the believers in Jesus Christ respond to death. And I think this was a topic that came up recently here in my personal life, well, my church life. I'm hearing about a lot of brothers who are passing away in the midst of, in the last month. We had several brothers who have passed away. They were, you know, they passed away, not from Corona, but just from natural causes. They were sick. One brother had cancer, and they went back into remission, and he passed away. But even in the midst of that, in this world today, we have a lot of people that are dying. I'm not directly connected to anyone who died from this current virus, but I've known folks, like you said, twice removed, who've had family members who passed away, who had co-workers passed away. We recently had, I work in a hospital, we recently had a couple of deaths there. And I think this is something that we, as the body of Christ, is opportunity. Because again, if God is sovereign, God is in control of all this, these physical deaths are not a surprise to him. But us as a church, as a body of Christ, as Christians, how do we respond to death when we know people that are going through, that are suffering? People we know that have sick loved ones in the hospital. Well, they were in the hospital before the virus outbreak, and now some are in the hospital because of the virus outbreak. And I know families who have seniors who are in the nursing homes, and we know that the mortality rate in the nursing homes is kind of high. So there's a lot of concern in what death is, but how do we respond? And again, what are we doing as the body of Christ in the church, again, and when it comes back to evangelism and those in our circle of influence, those in our families, and how do we as Christians, do we mourn, rejoice? We have guilt because we may not have shared the gospel. We didn't say anything about Jesus Christ to someone who may be an unbeliever or, you know, there's a lot of different emotions. But we also know that we ought to have hope and know that we have a hope in our lives, because again, you know, as the body of Christ, death is part of this life. It's scriptural. We're going to touch on some scriptures tonight, because I just want to give the foundation of our conversation. Because again, it's our blueprint, it's our yardstick, it's how we measure our life, and we know what the word of God is true. So we're going to refer to some scriptures here when it talks about death and what God says about it and what even Jesus taught about it. Amen. So I'm going to open up in prayer. We're going to get right into the conversation. Again, I see my brothers on the keyboard, on the switchboard. I'm sorry. Just press one on your keypad. We can bring you into the conversation. Father God, we just say thank you right now, Father. God, we don't thank you for the things, the material things, God. We thank you for salvation today. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and shed his blood, oh God, that we might be saved, oh God, that we may be set free from the curse of Adam, Lord God, because of his disobedience, that we all are destined to die for death. For the wages of sin is death. But today, God, we thank you, God, that we'll have eternal life with you. We'll have resurrected bodies, oh God. But, Father, we just say thank you right now for sending your son because you loved us so much. Father, I ask today, oh God, that you would touch family members, those who have family members, those who know folk are in the hospital. Comfort them, oh God, as they sit by the bedside in their prayer time, oh God. And, Father, encourage them. Comfort them, oh God. Let them know, oh God, this is not the end, oh God. That this temporal plane that we live on, oh God, in this physical world is just the beginning and we transition over, God. So, Father, today I just pray you encourage those, oh God. Encourage those who have sick family members, who have parents that are in nursing homes, oh God. Strengthen and keep them, oh God. Father, we pray for the children today, oh God. We pray for the parents, oh God. We pray for teachers, God. We pray for the leaders, oh God, of this country, from the president to the dog catcher, and everybody in between, oh God, who are called now to make decisions, to lead people, to be guide and direct people, that lives are at stake, oh God. So give them the wisdom and the good wisdom, oh God. Give them discernment, oh God. Let them not be moved by emotions or let them not be moved by the crowd, because you cannot lead by listening to the crowd, God, but you have to stand before people and give with integrity, oh God, and make the decisions. Father, we ask for that wisdom, oh God. Watch over them, bless them, and keep them. Father, continue, God, for all those who work in hospitals, oh God, who are in the midst, oh God, that go about their daily work and their daily jobs, oh God, just to provide the ministry, oh God, to those who are sick. So, Father, we ask today, oh God, that you can just continue to bless your church. Use your church, oh God. We're praying for the churches who are laboring in ministry, who are serving their communities, who are reaching, God, taking this opportunity for the four walls to be shut down, that the churches are now in the streets, oh God, that the churches are in the communities, oh God, the churches are engaging people, oh God. Father, let this be the new normal, oh God, for the body of Christ, oh God, that we don't go back into our four walls and our pews, oh God, that we will continue to engage, oh God, the lost in the culture, oh God, that we can be true salt and light, God, meet the needs, oh God. Help us, God. Pray for pastors today, oh God. reshape their minds, reshape their thoughts, give them, renew their visions and their missions, oh God. Because, God, you gave them the people to shepherd, to lead, to guide, and disciple, God. So let this, oh God, be an opportunity to shift, oh God. Father, we ask you to stir up the spirit, oh God, in your church today that we do different here, especially here, oh God, in America, oh God, here in Baltimore, here in Maryland, oh God, that the ministry, that people that are called by your name will serve you out of obedience, oh God, and love, oh God. Father, continue, God, to keep us in perfect peace in all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, again, I'm Deacon Thomas Paul, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Tonight, we're going to begin. We're going to talk about how the believers in Jesus Christ respond to death. And that's something we each have to, we each have to look in the mirror and see, what do we believe the Word of God? Do we believe what God says? Do we believe that we know that we're going to die in this physical death? We may, all sicknesses are not unto death, but we all know, unless Christ comes back and we're raptured, we are going to transition, where our physical bodies will shut down and we will transition over. And then we will be in his presence. But do we believe that? Do we live like that? And is that what we preach to folk? You know, because even, you know, we pray, there's a lot of prayers going up. But are we praying things that's in God's will? But we pray for healing, but are we praying for peace and comfort in the midst? Because, again, death in a family can shake, death in a family sometimes can shake the faith of those around them. Because you pray for God, because you hear a lot of testimonies, and I've heard a lot of testimonies of people who they prayed and God didn't save the person. The person still passed away. And that's why they don't pray to God, or they don't believe God, or their faith is shaken. Because they were taught somehow in some doctrine, and taught by some person, man, that if they pray, God's going to answer all their prayers, and we should never die or never get sick, and everyone should be healed. That's where I think where we have to be in the body of Christ. And I always say here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, every man has to look in the mirror. How would you minister to someone who you knew their family member was dying or passed away? Or even in the body of Christ, you know, someone in your church and a family member passes away, and you get into a conversation with them about you, they prayed and they still died, and now their faith is shaken. How do we restore that person's faith and help them to understand that God is sovereign, that nothing happens without God's knowledge, and he's sovereign in all that he is and all that he says? Amen? Well, we'll start with Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, I'm going to bring some brothers in here. I see you on the line. But I'm going to start with Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I have some other scriptures I want to share, but I'm going to start there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Word of God says, "And that is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin, unto salvation." Amen? Amen. So it's appointed once for all man to die. We're going to die in this flesh. We might be healthy and strong now. We might feel good. We don't have a headache. Everything's going well. But understand that our physical bodies are going to transition. We're going to die. Not all sicknesses and death, because I can say a testimony for my own self. You know, I had medical issues and I was overcome, and God chose to heal me. But then he healed me. Now I have a testimony, and then I'm living for God. I'm living an obedient life to God. And that's some of the things we have to look at. That our life, again, I think one of the things we're going to understand that I want to throw out there so for the brothers to think about as we begin this conversation is, you know, do we really have the control over the death, just as much control as we had over the day we were born? You know, and I think that's the way, you know, I look at it sometimes. I say, how much did we have over the day that we were going to be born? And why do we think now we can control and manipulate God for the day of our transition from this physical body into death? Amen? Amen. Let me go to my first caller here. Let me check in with the brother. Good morning. Good evening. Your last four numbers, 8086. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. How are you, Deke?
Hey, I'm good, brother. I'm good. I'm glad to hear you, bro. Make sure everything audio was working, everything here on the switchboard, but I'm good. And pray God. How are you feeling? How's the family? Everybody going over there on that side of town?
Everybody's good. How about you?
Everybody's well, bro. Everybody's well. It's good. Everything is well. Checked on everybody. Checked on the folk up north, and hey, everything's good. But as I did in the intro, we're going to talk a little about mortality, bro. And I just want to get your insights on it and just share your thinking because, I know you know folk who passed away even before corona, and I've had people pass away. But it just seems like, I know we had a little conversation about before. It just seems like there's a lot of prayer for healing, and there's not a lot of prayer for God's will to be done in this. Because, again, these physical bodies are going to pass. So what do you say, sir?
Well, I was pondering on the whole thing about death. It's funny, believers should, the way that they should respond versus the way how we respond to death. You know what I mean? We should respond to death as, either we live for Christ, like it says in Romans chapter 14, verse 8. It talks about, if I live or die, I live for Christ. I live for the Lord. So whether I be alive, I live for the Lord. Whether I die, I be with the Lord or live with the Lord. That should be our, viewpoint on how we look at death. But a lot of times, and I was thinking about it, it's funny that once people get to know who God is, then that's when they fear death more. The thing that you brought up, it's appointed a man to die and then judgment. That's the part that fears a lot of people is the judgment part. And God gives us an opportunity daily to repent or to get it right with him because we don't know the day or hour of either he's coming or even when we pass away. Even suicide, sometimes that's not even planned a lot of times. Circumstances, that overtake people, even in believers' lives, can push a person to say, well, I'd rather die, but the thing is that it's a true reality, and it's a thing that the church has to understand is that in this physical body, it's not indestructible or immortal. The body will get sick, and I'm just talking about the shell of where, which is our temple, which is our, our being, our state of being, this natural life. The thing is that we don't look at things like that. We try to put a lot of, blockers up to try to prolong a lot of things. And a lot of times it's a faith thing. It's really a faith thing. It's actually where your faith is. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, and you totally surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you wouldn't fear death. And you wouldn't fear this life. And I think that's the stumbling block for a lot of believers is the fear of the unknowing part. But the thing is that we do know where we will be being in Jesus Christ if we were to die today or tomorrow. So it's the thing is that instead of us thinking about death, we should actually make sure that we're prepared for death. Everything that people do on a consistent basis is we prepare to live. We set up a lot of things or a lot of provisions for what we want to do, like vacations we want to take and a lot of things, but we never prepare this spiritual thing that we have to basically transcend into. I think that really plays a factor in us studying the word and knowing what God says about things versus us to, rationalize our own thinking and our own opinion about what's going on. And the church, we should be the ones who should rejoice when we know a person who has passed away in Jesus Christ, versus mourning as if we have no hope. So, you know, I think it's just not only a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but it's also having faith in God and understanding what his word says concerning death. And then we'll be able to, you know, minister to those people who have loved ones that have passed away, or the people who have prayed and said, you know, I wanted God to take the virus away from my loved one who has passed. And they may be believers. Unbelievers, I'm not surprised on how they act, because I used to be an unbeliever and I used to act the same way. I used to try to do a whole lot of things to prevent death from happening for a lot of people. And then when people died, I used to mourn so bad. It was just, you know, hysterical, because I didn't know God. But now, knowing God and knowing that this is the process for believers to transcend to be with him, and then this is also what people need to understand. This is a thing that's going to happen for mankind. So if it's appointed for every man to die, then judgment, then what do you want your judgment to be? So I would really encourage that person to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and then, you know, get to understand what God knows, what God is saying about death, and what God is saying concerning this life. And for believers should know automatically. First of all, Jesus Christ died, and he was God in the flesh. So we know death is possible, and we know death has to happen. But I think we kind of like deviate from that part because of we get into our feelings and we love the person. We may miss the person. We don't want to see the person go. And then that's more of a selfish thing. However, we shouldn't actually get to a state where we don't know God or understand God. What do you think, Dee?
Amen, sir. And I think you're right. It's several things you said here. And I think the fear of death, I think that still is a residue in the body of Christ, in amongst believers. I think that is a real, I won't say it's easy, but I think that's still a lot of residue, because our faith, if our faith is in God's word, and I think a lot of it is folk need to go into the word and study the word for themselves, because you may not hear no sermon about death, that death is coming. You know, because we still have the residue of that prosperity, health, and wealth gospel still resonating, you know. And I think there's residue of that still there, thinking that, you know, no one should die. And if you're blessed, you're healthy, you'll never get sick. And that right there, I think there's a lot of residue of that. So there's a lot of things that your faith is greater than death and real fear. And again, I believe it's we have to get back to scripture. First of all, we have to get back to what scripture says and what the biblical view of these issues is, like any issue in our life. Because again, the word of God has an answer for every issue that we are dealing with as men, as husbands, fathers, and sons. The word already gives us the blueprint, but we have to be able to go in and dig into that word for ourselves and get that understanding through the Holy Spirit speaking to us, where we are in a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, through his Son, and that now we are being illuminated, we're being enlightened, and the word now is meaning something, and it's alive. So I think that's a lot of what it is, that we have to, for ourselves, get it. The only way I can minister something, I have to minister what I believe. It has to come from the inside. It's not something I can really memorize. It's not something I can just, you know, study just to have an intellectual conversation. Because when I talk about death, because we're all going to experience it from us. It depends on whatever God's will is, for parents, from siblings, from co-workers, classmates, people that we know, church members. We're all going to experience people leaving this temporal realm. But how are we ministering? How are we encouraging each other? You know, one of the things I found when I first came into the church, you know, was the challenge was folk who were quote unquote faithful believers, people of God, believers, Christians, but if it was that one person in their family who died, they were all distraught and they was all broken up. Because it's easy to talk about death when it don't come to your house. And I think that's one of the things. And I'm gonna, because in preparing for this conversation, I was thinking about Job. Can any of us live the experience Job experienced and still believe God? Because if just one person in our life passes for whatever reason, it could be an accident, it could be violence in the community, it could be a car accident, it could be a heart attack, or maybe they were sick and it lingered. But how we as men of God and as the body of Christ should be prepared, because we have the answer and the hope is in the Word of God. And I think that's one of the things I want to encourage every brother out there to be able to know that this is something you have to go into the Word and believe for yourself, because that's the only way that helps us be able to minister in these times and in these seasons and opportunities to evangelize. Because we all know, anybody who's been in church a while, you know, the evangelism at funerals, because everybody's thinking about their thing. Because I learned a long time ago, funerals is not about the person who's gone. It's about all those people sitting in those pews and in those chairs. It's about them and the opportunity. They're thinking about their mortality. And that's where people get upset. And then, you know, people, other issues that people have with the person who passed, of what they did, how they treated them, and all that. That's a whole other discussion. But for us as believers, we have to get ourselves on the sound foundation of biblical truth when it comes to death. Amen. I have one other scripture here I wanted to share, because I wanted to because it was something. I just had it. I just lost it. Where'd it go? Because it talks about, you know, it's about our faith, and it's about I just lost it in my memory, but it's what Paul was saying. I believe it was in Philippians. What Paul talked about, he was twixt between two positions, to be with Christ or to stay here and to continue to minister to the church. I believe that was Philippians. He was speaking to the Philippians church. And that's what some of us need to be. Are we there? We have to look again. Are you there? Are you want to be with God, but you know if you stay here, there's another person, another soul you can reach. And that's what, again, comes back to us as the body of Christ. Are we evangelizing? Are we reaching the lost? And are we out engaged in the communities? What do you say? So that importance, because I think that's what we gather as a church. I think that's what we got to focus of when we talk about death is, how many people are we fulfilling what Christ has called the church to do? That, so when people, you know, they get to know Christ, they can be secure, they can lose their fear, and increase their faith. What do you say about that, sir?
Amen. The thing is that is a faith. That's an explanation of faith. That's a thing where you get to a point where you've surrendered your whole life to Jesus Christ. Paul got to a point where he was, I guess you could say, his life didn't matter. It was more so God's will to be done on earth, where all people could be potentially saved through evangelism and through his work in ministry. You're right. I mean, have we got to that point yet where that Jesus Christ is all that matters, or Jesus Christ is first priority in my life? And that's a faith thing. It's like, are you living for Christ? You know, that's a key question for a lot of believers. Is what are you living for? If you're living for Jesus Christ, then this is, you know, Jesus Christ should be priority along with other things that God has given us to be good stewards over in our life, to be a part of our life, but that is not our life. That's not the meaning of our life. That's not why we do the things that we do. That's not why we go to work. It's not why we fellowship. That's not why we raise our children. Do we glorify God enough to say, okay, I want to live for Jesus Christ, and for him alone is who I want to serve. And when you get to that point, then everything else, you know, God will give you the ability to manage everything else, and to deal with it to a degree where, you know, you look at a person like Paul, and he gave his life for the gospel. Are we at that point yet? And that should be a prayer for all of us as believers day in and day out. get us to a point where we want to really deny ourselves and truly live out what Jesus Christ would have for us to do. And it takes a surrender. It takes a sacrifice. It takes a lot of things. You know, one of the things that a person has to understand is that how much of their life do matters to them, or how much of their life is more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ being spread. And, you know, those opportunities do come up where, you know, you could, like, let's say, for instance, fellowship. If you fellowship with a person, are you fellowshipping with them so that God is glorified in your relationship? Or are you fellowshipping with them so that, you know, you could tell them all about you and they can tell you all about them? And that's the basis or the foundation of that relationship. So it's just, you know, Jesus Christ, it doesn't have to be a dialogue of Jesus Christ all the time, but you use those opportunities so that you can encourage each other in Jesus Christ. And for believers, I think we miss sight of that in our daily walk. And it's because of a lot of things that take precedence, or it basically has more value than Jesus Christ being the front of our, you know, daily life or daily living. And then in those areas where the enemy would have us to be, I guess you could say, closed with a closed mouth on a lot of subjects and topics, because see, it's one of them things where if a person is talking, and I don't know if people really recognize it now, Jesus Christ is not what a lot of people want to hear nowadays. That's not the new norm. I remember years ago, you could talk about Jesus Christ all the time and not a lot of people would be offended. But if you talk about him now, the thing is that the reaction is what people try to avoid, especially believers. We think evangelism is talking about scripture, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the case. It's really giving a testimony about Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life. So knowing that, how do we address that in evangelism, you know? And if people are, you know, there's conversations about what's going on in the world all the time with the virus, with what's up and coming. And even some unbelievers talk about what's up and coming with the mark of the beast and all of that stuff, right? But the thing is that in that conversational piece, they may say that they don't believe in God or they don't have an interaction with Jesus Christ. And then that's where God or the Holy Spirit gives us an opportunity to speak on the goodness of Jesus Christ and what Christ died for, and that the things that are going on in the world are not surprising, and it's already been foretold. But we get in those settings and we be, what you would say, hush mouth. You know, we get intimidated by the people speaking, and we don't know what to say a lot of times. And then we let those opportunities pass. And Paul got to a point, even in, you know, in Acts, we're preaching the gospel, he gave his life for the gospel. He was whipped. He was beat. I mean, he was stoned. I mean, Paul got to a point where he was willing to die for Jesus Christ. And I think that that's the thing that believers need to reiterate in our daily walk. Have we totally surrendered and denied ourselves for the glory of God? If that's true, then God has to be the first priority in our life, not in only our daily conversation, but also in our interactions with people. What do you think?
Yes, sir, because that's part of it. That's part of how we deal with death, because if we speak in the gospel, then we know that we're all going to die, and that's going to be the judgment. And that's where, I guess, for us to evangelize, for people to know our hope, you know, like I said, you know, funerals and repasses is the place where people, they're open. But then we have to be able to talk about their things. And to be able to engage them in that conversation, because we are God's representatives in those things, and that's one of the things that stirred me to want to bring this discussion to the show, because you know, because there's so much around, because even we hear about death on the TV and people passing, but again, in our circle and the people that we're around, what are we saying? What are we saying when we watch the news and say, hey, you know, this person died, and well, hopefully they knew God. You know, that can initiate something. Now, that could be some folk, like you said, you mentioned Jesus Christ, and they died, and they before God. That'll stir up something in some folk, and then you may, you know, you find yourself, people will be, you know, get angry at you. well, you know, if God was this and God was that, why should letting people die? But then we have to be in a place where we know that we have to go back to the Word of God, the curse. Death came because of Adam. That's our biblical view. It's part of the curse. You want to talk about death? Let's talk about what the book of Genesis says and why we in this position, and then how good God did that we don't have to spend eternity, because we all going to die. These physical bodies are going to go. And that's, to me, I learned this a long time ago, but that's just science. That's biological. These physical bodies are going to go return back to their basic elements. They're going to die, you know, and anyone who's lived long enough realize you can't do what you used to do because of why. You're getting older and stuff is running down. But this physical death, and where are you going to spend eternity? And that's the other spiritual side. And us as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to have an answer to death. And I think that's where the gospel, that's where our evangelistic conversations come in. And like you said, we talk about this a lot, that it's not about quoting scripture at that time. It's about what do you believe and how are you going to communicate your faith to someone so they can understand what your hope is. Because that's what the Bible calls us, to give the reason for our hope. And I don't fear death, but for me to say I don't fear death, I have to not really fear death and know that that God has a plan. And that, you know, because, again, it talks about, you know, I call it, that's just my thing, you know, I call it the residue from the health and wealth and prosperity gospel that was preached for, you know, back in those 80s, 90s, 2000s, all that. There's residue to that where people think, Christians, you're not supposed to be sad. You're not supposed to get sick. You should have money. You shouldn't want. God wants you to have stuff and material things and, you know, and whatever. But we as men of God, as leaders in our homes, leaders in the church, and leaders in the community, we have to be rooted, grounded in the Word and be able to bring truth. Because, again, if the Word of God is true, if you trust in God for the salvation of your soul, why was it so hard for us to tell someone else what we believe and share that? And when it comes to death, because we have, each man has to honestly look at himself and say, you know, do I fear death? If tomorrow or the next moment or whatever was my time, am I ready? Are those around me ready? And, you know, have I discipled and lived a life around those who've known me who will say, you know, I know because, again, we can't really determine a man's soul. But is how I lived and how I talk to folk, will they be confident to know that I'm absent from the body and I'm present with the Lord? Because they knew who I was and how I lived and my conversation. And I think when we don't say, because, you know, a lot of times we want to be secret, you know, Pastor said it one time, you know, before, we want to be secret undercover Christians. We don't want nobody to really know, you know, just sometimes, because, you know, we don't want stuff out there. We want people to really know, well, I'll do this in the church and I'm that and this and all kinds of things, because we try to keep undercover about our Christianity. We just want church folk to know we're church folk. I'm just saying. But anyway, but again, amen. 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 Well, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with my brother Anthony from Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship, called in tonight. And we're discussing our response as Christians. How do believers in Jesus Christ respond to death? Do we rejoice? Do we mourn? Do we have guilt? That's one of the things I do want to talk about. I want to touch on, do we seek death? And the first thing come to guilt, because we didn't say anything. And I think that's where, again, as men of God and as believers in general, you know, do we mourn because we're guilty, because we know we didn't say that person, we knew them for so long, or we was around them, and we never, I won't say, we can't save anyone. But did we do what Christ told us to do? Did we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did we evangelize? Did we make disciples? Did we labor? that his word, that people would know the word. Because every man, woman, child, they have to make their own choice. But believers, if we're confessed believers, we are in our obedience to Christ. We have to share the gospel. And when death comes to a person, you know, man, why did I say nothing? Why didn't I say something? You know, why was the last time I talked to them? You know, you might have talked to them 3, 4, 5 months ago. You knew exactly who they were, what they believed. If they wasn't believer, were they secure or assured of their salvation? But you never talked to them. And sometimes that guilt rises up in us. What do you say about that, bro? That you know, as believers, what do you think about the guilt part that we didn't say anything when someone that we know passes away?
Well, one of the things, and that's a good point, because, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will convict you on missed opportunities, you know. The opportunity is for you to share the gospel or to share the hope that's in you with the person that did pass away. And that can creep up in our minds. And, you know, sometimes you miss those opportunities because the conversation is about maybe football or maybe some things about, you know, back in the day where you reminisce and you get caught up in those conversations with those people who knew you from childhood. And, you know, all through the conversation, you never got a chance to really talk about, hey, I just wanted to know, you know, do you believe in Jesus Christ? It's just a topic. A lot of times in evangelism, you could just start off with a question. You know, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And, you know, when that person dies or, you know, when you don't know if they actually ever gave their life to Jesus Christ, because it's a personal relationship. It's not a thing where it's a, you know, open relationship or something that you share with other people. However, you do share those things where you want to iron sharpen it, iron a friend to a friend, encourage people in Jesus Christ. However, you don't want it to, you don't know totally if the person had a change of heart. You don't know. And even some people that are in the body of Christ, you really don't know if they have a change of heart as well. You know, those are the things that are a mystery to us. But are we in a position or are we actually doing what we need to be doing in Christ to make sure that the gospel was even introduced to those people properly? You know, I did hear you speak on about the prosperity preaching and everything like that. And those preachers or pastors, what they did was they planted a seed where a lot of, I guess you could say, people in America, the way that we perceive a lot of things is through prosperity. You know, we want the best cars. We want, you know, the houses. We want, and if we have those things, then Jesus Christ is glorified. However, in those situations or circumstances, you know, that's not the faith that actually is going to get us into the kingdom of God. It's if we believe in Jesus Christ with our whole heart, that gets us into the kingdom of God. It is not, you know, our possessions. It is not what we do. It's not by our works. It's totally dependent on believing in Jesus Christ. So to understand that and to know that and to be able to express that to people, we just don't know if they've been converted. And a lot of times the enemy can play tricks on your mind to make us feel responsible as if we're the ones, as if it's us who is going to save the individual. You know, I had to play with that in my mind a whole lot of times where I know people who may have passed away and people that I knew from the block and people that I knew when I was growing up. And the thing is that I used to think just because they was around me, it wasn't up to me, even though my life had changed and I didn't do a lot of things. And I always tried to introduce Jesus Christ to them because I knew him. It wasn't up to me to save them. It's if their heart had been changed or converted, then at that point, that's between them and God. It's not up to me at that point. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, when we're around individuals and people that we did grow up with, how are we living? You know, are we actually doing the things that they're doing? Even though God delivered you from that, you know, whatever it is that you've been addicted to or your life has changed around them, why are you still hanging out in certain areas near them? And, that was one of the things that I had to learn being a believer. I had to actually come to a point where I had to remove myself from things and temptations that I know could send me back in a backsliding state. And then I would, in that sense, it would be making the gospel in my life an open chain. And it's just those things. If you the people that's around you, if your life has truly been devoted to Jesus Christ and you totally surrender to Jesus Christ, they'll know, because they'll know by how you act around them. Not only that, they know that you're not hanging around them in certain places. So it's just those things. If your life has truly changed, you shouldn't feel guilty if you know that you lived a life that was pleasing to God around them, and that you know that you've, did what you could do to try to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. However, in those cases where we know we had missed opportunities with people, sometimes the Holy Spirit can be convicting us to say something, and then we don't even know what to say a lot of times in different settings. And then let's say the person passes away, and how do we deal with that guilt? And the thing is that I think that that is a learning experience for a person to mature in Jesus Christ. Because if you, yield to the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. And it's been a lot of times where God had me in a setting when I know the odds were against me and I was a little bit intimidated. However, if I truly, truly surrender to Jesus Christ and trust in the Holy Spirit, I believe God will have his way and give me what to say to evangelize and not feel guilty if the person never received Jesus Christ. What do you say, sir?
Amen. I like that, bro. You hit that right on part, because that guilt, I said that because I wanted to see, because again, we can feel guilty in that part, but we shouldn't. But like you said, that those missed opportunities, we should learn from them. We should really, really learn from them. But that's the thing that I really got out of it from even my own experience. There was opportunities when these things would come up, because even though we're living a life before them and they see a transition, but again, are we now engaging them in the conversation that to get their hearts and their minds thinking? That, because again, it's something that I always share. There's folk out there who's only going to hear the gospel from you. Every man out there needs to understand that. They're not going to hear your pastor. You could give them a tape, a CD, whatever. You could give, send them a link to the YouTube, to the Sunday sermon. But for an unbeliever, that may not mean nothing to them because they don't know them. And we have people in our lives that we are connected to. And in our circles of influence, that we have to be able to speak the gospel to them. And we have to prepare ourselves. So we talk about missed opportunities when you said, because we have to be in a place where God, the prayer is, God, help me reach this person. Bring back the remembrance. Bring back the things that I can say to someone. Be prepared. We have to be prepared to evangelize. Jesus, if we look at the Gospels, Jesus sent them out two by two. They just sent them out to see how it felt to get to be out there. This is why he was still walking the earth. So it takes training. It takes surrendering to the Holy Spirit to know what to say. But we have to know what we believe and why we believe it to be able to conversate with someone else. That's the part that we need to remember. How do we conversate and engage people to talk about the gospel? But again, not to have the guilt, because we miss opportunities. So again, we don't know everyone's whole life. We just know, we just know them for who was in front of us. Someone else might have reached them and gave them the gospel, and they still might have rejected it. But God just wants us to recognize, to convict us, because he wants us to do better for the next time. Because there's going to be a soul that's just waiting for us to open our mouths. That's something I learned a long time ago. My first pastor told me about evangelism. There's somebody out there just waiting for you to open your mouth about Christ, because they're not going to hear it from anybody else. And that's why you have to be ready. You have to be prepared. You have to know what to say. you know, whatever. But you have to know it, and it has to be something. It has to be part of who you are, and just share what you know. From it's a lot of different ways to do it. There's no cookie cutter. This is the way to do it. But you have to understand the Word of God. You have to understand what the Word of God says about salvation, about death, about every man is going to die. You have to know that and be able to translate. Then your own testimony. Because people, especially people who knew you previously, you know, this is, you know exactly who I was, but I'm not that no more, and this is why. Because I came to understanding. And then you just go down. You know, death is coming for everyone. You know, you might have your friend, homie, whatever that you used to run with, and something happened to their parents. That's an opportunity for you to speak to them, because, you know, if people's parents die, the man, woman, child, grown, full-grown man, whatever, when they lose a parent, today some don't handle it well. Some go into a whole emotional tailspin. But we as the body of Christ, as Christians, should be able to come into that circumstance and bring order to the chaos of their emotions with the gospel. Comfort them, speak a word to them, let them know, you know, and but again, we have to be in a place in our own relationship and walk with God that we're able to do that, you know, and I think that's just, every man has to be able to look in the mirror and prepare himself to, again, because this, I believe that's part of evangelizing and spreading the gospel, that how do we respond to death is important. Because even in these conversations in break rooms and lunch rooms, when you're sitting there watching the news and the news come on and thousands of people died and more people died, all that, those are opportunities. Especially when someone is, you know, because some of this stuff, the news, I think a lot of people are what's the word I want to use? A lot of people are taking this news in, and it's really affecting them emotionally. And we, as the body of Christ, should be able to come in and comfort them with the knowledge of God and who Jesus is and why they should trust God and take away their fear. But are we prepared to do that? And are we, again, taking advantage of those opportunities? Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Issues that affect men's lives as husbands, fathers, and sons, as they lead in the community, lead in their homes, and lead in the church. And tonight we've been talking about how the believers in Jesus Christ respond to death. And I'll say this, how do you, all the brothers that are listening, if you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com, / Deacon Thomas Farr, how do you respond to death or find out someone passed or the conversations of people around you? You know, how do you respond? How do we encourage each other in the body of Christ when we hear family members of our church family and someone in their family passes away? How do we encourage them? You know, are we in a place where we have a response for death and understand the biblical view of mortality, that, you know, everyone's going to die and leave this temporal realm. There's those in the sinner man and the saved man, we're all going to pass away. But how do we respond? Because if the physical death comes for the believer, we're ushered into the presence of Christ, according to the Word of God, and the sinner man is ushered into his separation from God. And it's only because, again, it goes back to something Pastor Toe said a long time ago. There's only two kinds of people in the world, the believer and the unbeliever. And that's what God's going to do, the sheep from the goat, the wheat from the tare. Which one are you, and who are you helping to come into God's side as the body of Christ? Amen? Amen. Brother Deacon, brother, how are you? Again, I want to thank you, man, for joining me tonight and sharing your wisdom, your insight, and just stirring up some things in the audience and the people that are listening, that they will be encouraged to think about these things. Because, again, every man, we have to look in the mirror. We have to see where we are in these issues and in these topics. Again, we don't stand on the pedestal thinking that we got all the answers, because we don't. We are growing every day. We are seeking God's guidance every day. that we might draw closer to him and that we might be vessels that he can use. But our greatest prayer here at Asia's Christian Men's Talk is that we encourage the brothers out there, the husbands, the fathers, Amen. And the sons, just to encourage you in the things of God and what you're doing and how we live in this life, how we walk in this walk. Are we being salt and light? Are we living lives that glorify him? Are we doing the good works that advance his kingdom, kingdom of men and popularity, but advancing him and making Jesus Christ famous and glorifying him and being vessels that can be used by him in whatever area, whatever circumstance, situation you're in. So, well, brother, I just want to encourage you to continue to press in. Bro, I'm going to ask you to pray us out. I'm going to give you the last word. And you can pray us Amen. Out. And again, bro, thank you for giving me, spending this time with me in conversation and the word and the wisdom that Amen. You shared.
Amen. Just want to say we don't have to fear death. Death is something that we all, you know, experience one way or another. For the believers of Jesus Christ, we shouldn't fear death. We actually should rejoice because we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's what we stand on. We stand on the word of God and not what people may say, other religious groups, leaders. It's not by works that we're saved. It's by grace through faith. So knowing that, not believing in Jesus Christ, you're condemned already. And that's in John chapter 3, verse 18. But I thank God that, you know, knowing that my relationship with Jesus Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, I ask you, I thank you once again, Father, for this opportunity. I thank you, Father, for stirring up things in us, Father, that may be troubling the man or woman, Father, who belongs to you, who may have fear, Father, or doubt. Father, I ask you to touch them right now, Father, where they are. I ask you, Father, to minister to their hearts, Lord God, to lean towards you and to trust you in all things. Father, no matter what kind of sickness or anything that may come upon us, Father, we know that all things work together for the good, for them that love the Lord and that are called according to your purpose. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the things that we're seeing, Father, the turnaround that we're seeing in people's lives, Father, because of the pandemic, Father, the COVID-19 virus, Lord God. So we thank you, Father, for rebuilding that faith and that relationship, Father, and drawing that person back to you. Father, it's about you, Father. Help us to live our life, Father, so that a person can look at our life and ask, what must I do to be saved, Lord God? Forgive us for the things that we may take for granted, Father. We know that you are the provider and that you are the keeper, Lord God. Bring us back, Father, to where we need to be in you. Touch our hearts, Father, and purify our minds and our soul, Lord God. Help us, Father, to encourage each other. Help us to love one another, Father. Help us to stick together with one another, Father, and reach out to that brother or sister, Father, that is struggling, who may need help, Lord God. Father, remove any pride, Father, that's in amongst your people, and help us, Father. Help us to just be open and transparent, Lord God, with you. So we thank you and we praise you, Father. It's in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I don't want to go through the same old dry existence, the same old dry experiences.